timing like only I can do. When I start thinking I'm so far from you, I wake up to hear you whisper, that's not true.
Good Friday morning, everybody. We're going to have the happy dance here in just a minute. Out of hibernation here at Faith Studio One in beautiful downtown. That's right, Faith Studio One in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. How you all doing? This is CA on the iHeartRadio Network here at the iHeartRadio Studio. Back in the saddle. Today is Billy Graham Fridays. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on, and then we're going to do a little bit of a Friday dance for you all. So, here's what's going to happen. We have some great Christian music. A couple of them going to be playing for you. Also, Billy Graham's going to talk about how to get to heaven. I'm going to take it back to 1983 in Columbus, Ohio. Going to flashback. Going to make sure that you're just imagining sitting there at one of his crusades. We're never going to do away with his crusades. You see why? You know where you can listen to it exclusively and only here on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Now, you can text a prayer if you go to our Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. You can definitely text that prayer to me. And our prayer request is, go to Morning Brew Christian Podcast. When you do that, you're going to click on station information, copy my number, paste it on your phone, put it on for prayer request, and send me a text. Give me your name, your state, either you got saved or it was just a radical show, it was great. Whatever it is, or maybe you have a prayer request. Also, you can do it the old-fashioned way, same ways too as well. Click on Facebook Messenger and do it there too as well, okay? All right, what do you say? Let's get this Friday show rolling. Also, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, is here this morning. He made it. He's going to tell us about his drive journey from Tyler to Fort Worth, Texas, here just shortly. But before we do that, We got two little songs to kind of get us joisted up. You know, we got to get that that feel-good feeling, right? We all got to have that. So, James Brown, kick it off for us on a Friday. There we go. He's got you. We got you. We all got you, don't we? All right. Well, what else we got going on? Well, it's you guys know it just as well as I do. How about a little bit of the Friday dance? Are you feeling the Friday dance? If you're not, you definitely want to be sure and replay that song and get pumped up, okay? All right. Well, you know what? It's been a little while since we have brought him in. And, you know, he is here. He is pumped up. He wants to tell you all about it. Let's get in his intro ready on Billy Graham Fridays. You got it, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Deacon, stand by, my friend. Friends, he has his, excuse me, breakdown shoes on here at the studio this morning. Goodness gracious. Okay. Well, we gave him a little bit of a celebration. How about a cheer for our friend all the way from Tyler, Texas? He is a warrior. Okay, how about a hand clap for him? Let him know how special he is, right? That's right. All right, give him some morning crow on a Friday. There we go. All right, quit laughing at him. We know he's funny. Give him the whistle. You're going to excuse me. I'm still battling allergies through all this. Drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown for our friend the Deke.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There you go, 10, guys. Whoops. Oops, there we go. It's so cold this morning here at the studio in downtown Fort Worth that the countdown button kind of went a little bit bananas. Your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Okay, Deacon, hit it away.
Well, hello, everybody. How you all doing? This is Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hope everybody's doing well today. Let me tell you something, C.A. You want to hear about my travels, and good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Did you get your, I didn't have pumpkin spice, but I have Folgers coffee with southern pecan.
C.A., I did, and I just want to tell you something. It was delicious.
All right. Good. Good, good, good. Yes, tell me about your trip. Goodness, how early did you have to leave to get from Tyler, which is east on 20, if you're from Fort Worth, all the way to our station in downtown Fort Worth? I bet you're tired.
C.A., I am exhausted. Miss Mildred went with me. She said, honey, we've been so hibernated the last 3 days that let's go on a little road trip. I said, okay, honey, let's go see CA at the iHeartRadio studio in downtown Fort Worth.
You know, I'm glad you did, but I'm also glad that you're in one piece. It's been a radical ice storm. It's kept things shut down the last 3 days, almost four.
Yeah, and I told Miss Mildred, I said, now, look, we're not going to go do any extra shopping till later on down there in downtown Fort Worth. But I tell you what, I went to go see CA, and I'll let you stay at the hotel. So, CA, what happened was last night we drove in, and I went through some radical ice. Now, let me tell you something entirely. It was an ice storm. In fact, the Deacon, I drive a pick-em-up truck, and my pick-em-up truck almost slid off and went off on the side. That's how dangerous it was.
My goodness, are we going to have to change your name from the Deacon to Mr. Radical Deacon?
Well, I guess you're going to have to. But you know what? I was badly determined. I haven't talked to you folks in such a long time because I know you're going through some, trying to get through these changes, but it seems like something's always happening. People been under the weather. Producers been under the weather. Everything's been radically crazy, hadn't it?
I know. I'll tell you, past couple of months, I just can't seem to get these allergies under control. I've took my allergy medicine. I've done everything. Rammed that thing up my nose and squirt that thing 2 times. That's the Lane solution. I've done everything 2 times a day. And I'm telling you, Deke, I can't seem to get that knocked out.
You know, me neither. In fact, especially when I get up there in the choir on a Sunday and they sit there and they say, Deacon, you're going to have to do whatever you can to try to get that choir uplifted. You know, like we do here on your radio show, we try to do a little bit of uplifting music.
That's right. Now we call that Faith Wednesdays. We changed the name. I'm trying to change the names on some things. Then we got Sunday Praise, which we've changed the name instead of Sunday Mourn Praise because we want people to know we got the praise. And then we're trying to get back into our biblical teaching. January's been kind of a tough month. We're working on it. It's a process when you're going through changes, especially here at working at the station, doing radio work for iHeartRadio, and then on top of that, trying to do our Christian podcast show, which in October will be 4 years.
I know, it's hard to believe I've been with you 4 years. I tell you, I love it. And so is producer Dave,
right? And we got new characters. You two are staying. I got a whole new set of new characters that are coming aboard. It's just a process of getting them on board and getting them down here. So you made it, and it took you how many hours?
CA, it took me, which is normally a few hour trip, it took me a little bit more. It took me about 8 hours. I'm exhausted.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad you came by. I'm glad you came by for a short visit, say hi, drink some coffee, listen to a little bit of music, and then listen to Billy Graham Fridays.
I loved Dr. Glam, and I can't wait to hear that segment on how to get to heaven.
That's right. That's a 1983 version. But before we kick that off, Deacon, I want to thank you again for coming by. And I also want to tell you, we're going to play a Rich Mullins, a rare song that a lot of people haven't heard in decades. We lost him back in the 90s. This particular song is from his album back in 1993. It's a legacy, and it's also included in the Ragamuffin Band, his band, and him, and it's called Hold Me Jesus. So you want to tell everybody anything before you leave?
Yeah, I just want to say have a great weekend. I'm fixing to go shopping a little later on. Sticking Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Y'all have a great day.
All right, thanks, Deke. We'll get you a cup of coffee on the way back. Here we go, Hold Me Jesus, and then guess who? Billy Graham Fridays. Billy Graham coming up right after this. CA on the iHeartRadio Network, and now we're going to go to Billy Graham back in 1983. Just imagine you at one of his crusades in Columbus, Ohio. Here we go, today's message entitled, How to Get to Heaven.
Tonight, I hope you have your Bibles with you. I've been asking you to bring your Bibles because we're here to see what the Bible has to say about your problems and my problems and the nation's problems and the world's problems. Not what someone else has to say, but what does God have to say? And I want you to turn with me to the second chapter of John's Gospel. The second chapter of John's Gospel. In the 23rd verse, Jesus said, the scripture says, Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast days, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I remember the first day that I ever went to school. I was scared to death. We had to walk to school in those days about 2 or 3 miles and walk back in the afternoon after the school was finished. And my mother had fixed me a little lunch to take and eat at lunchtime or the recess time. No one told me that there were 2 recesses, so they had 1 recess about 10 or 10:30. For us to go out and stretch ourselves a little bit. And so I ate my lunch very quickly at that time. But when the real lunchtime came at 12:30, I had nothing to eat. And I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I got on the bus the wrong way. This was 4 years later. I got on the bus the wrong way. And the principal came out and he grabbed my ear. And I think part of it is still gone. But some time ago, Bill Hybels said in one of his sermons that there are so many changes happening rapidly that we don't even realize how many of them are affecting us. He said that this is an era of information overload. You and I have access to more information, data, facts, and news and knowledge than anybody in history. And the information in the world is doubling every 5 years. We tune into the news on television when we get up in the morning. And over breakfast, we check over the newspaper. All day at the office, if you're in an office, you're bombarded with facts. You come home and immediately play back the telephone answering machine. And when you get ready to go to bed, you tune in for the latest news. And our lives are becoming a frantic frenzy of facts. Computers are fueling it. We have access to more and more information at faster and faster rates. Americans have one. Do you know how many telephone calls the average American has a day? Or talks on a day? 1,300,000,000 telephone calls are made in the United States every day. I don't mean you, but I mean the whole country. And then we get information through magazines and newspapers. We're told that we forget up to 80% of it in 24 hours, and virtually all of it will be forgotten by the time we reach eternity. There was a little boy I heard about. He said, it seems to me we're going to be dead a lot longer than we're going to be alive. And he said, we better start thinking about that. And I think he's right. Verily, verily, the words Jesus used here is Christ's way of introducing a statement of tremendous importance. When Jesus says that, you listen carefully. Nicodemus, the man that we were just reading about in the Bible, was a great religious leader. And he came by night. He probably was afraid of criticism, or he had a desire for a private conversation with Jesus, and maybe that was the only time Jesus could give him. Or maybe he thought about committing himself in a new way. Many of you have thought a long time about religion and Christianity. We're living in a revolutionary and changing world. Man's moral ability is lagging behind his technological ability. And it could mean disaster and catastrophe for the whole human race. And many people have a feeling that something is about to happen. I'm asked more questions wherever I go today about the end of the world than I ever have in all of my ministry put together. People look at our world with all the crime and all the headlines screaming at us about the killings, and we see the moral depravity on so much of our entertainment, and we ask ourselves, are we nearing the end? Are we living in the days of Noah, as Jesus predicted would come someday? I heard about a drunk in London. He was under a street light, and he was looking for his wallet that he had lost. And somebody came by and said, did you lose it here? He said, no, about a half block back. Well, why don't you look there? There's no street lights back there, he said. Searching is important. Searching for purpose and meaning is very important. Do you have purpose and meaning in your life? I told many times about the 10-year-old boy who went to his mother and said, Mother, how was I born? And she said, the stork brought you. Then he went to his grandmother and said, Grandmother, how were you born? Said, the stork brought me. Said, how was my mother born? Well, the stork brought her. And he was to write a little paper in his class on birth. And he wrote in his paper and said, there hasn't been a natural birth in our family in 3 generations. Now, Nicodemus was surprised and stunned when Jesus turned to him and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. If Christ had said that to Zacchaeus, who was cheating the people out of money, you could understand that. Or the woman at the well who had had 5 husbands, you could understand it. Or the thief on the cross who was guilty of robbery and mugging and all kinds of things, who said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, the woman taken in adultery. But to say it to a religious leader like Nicodemus surprised everybody. You see, Nicodemus was a ruler. He was rich. He was religious. And yet he was searching for reality. And that's why he was there. He wanted fulfillment in his life, which he hadn't found in all of his religion. Let me tell you how religious Nicodemus was and see how you stack up. He fasted 2 days a week. He spent 2 hours every day in prayer. He tithed all of his income. He was a professor of theology. He worked hard at his religion. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, all that is not enough. You must be born again. Why did Jesus say this? Jesus could see in his heart. He could see that he had all this outside religious experience. He had all the traditions of religion, like fiddle on the roof. Tradition, tradition, tradition is what he's saying. And we have traditions in our church and all the churches. We have traditions and we stick to those traditions. But all of it's not enough. Jesus said you must have a personal experience with God. You must come to know me as your Lord and your Savior personally. You can't depend on your traditions. You can't depend on your family. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, all your religion is not enough. Why? The little boy put his finger on it when he said, I guess I was just born wrong. Yes, the Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in iniquity. What causes lying, cheating, hate, prejudice, greed, injustice, selfishness, cruelty, racial tensions? What causes it? What causes perversion? Jesus said, the heart. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a person. They're in our hearts. We were born with that tendency to sin, and as we grow older, we make choices to sin. So we become sinners by choice, and then we become sinners by practice. We practice this sin. It's a disease. Worse than cancer, worse than AIDS. And the whole world is infected. And you may live to be 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years of age. But your spirit, your soul, that part of you that will live forever, either in heaven or hell, that part of you is dead. Dead toward God, and it's sinful, and that's the reason you need forgiveness. That's the reason you need for God to come along and justify you. Did you know that tonight, before you leave here, you could be justified before God just as though you had never committed a sin? That's what the cross is all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's what the blood of Christ is all about. Jesus came to give himself to you because he loves you. And when he died on that cross, God laid all of our sins on him. He became guilty of murder, of lying, of adultery, of greed. All the sins that you and I have were laid on him. He voluntarily did it because he loves you. God loves you. There are many words used in the New Testament for sin. I'm not going to try to use them all. One of them is turning aside from a straight path. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, said Isaiah. In Romans 5, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Thus, a radical change must take place before you can get into heaven, before you can be accepted by God. And that change can take place tonight to find true or real fulfillment even in this life. That change must take place. To be acceptable to God, that change must take place. Now, what is this new birth when Jesus said you must be born again? Nicodemus asked that question. He said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb and be born again? He wanted to understand. Jesus indicated, the Bible indicates, that we will never understand all these things. We'll never understand all the mysteries of God. We come by faith. Nicodemus could only see the physical and the material. And Jesus was speaking of the spiritual. When Jesus said you must be born again, he didn't mean that you're going to inherit it. You don't inherit salvation from your father and mother. The scripture says in John 1:12, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I could be born in a garage, but that doesn't make me an automobile. You can be born in a Christian home, but that doesn't make you a Christian. There has to come a time in your own life when you make your own decision and your own choice. And then some people think they can come by their own works, by doing many good things and great things. That's wonderful. Keep doing them. But that doesn't save your soul. It's a result of your salvation. In Titus 3:5, it says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You are saved by the grace of God. Now, grace means unmerited favor. Grace means something you don't deserve. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. It's a gift from God. Have you received that gift? You receive that gift by faith, and he comes into your heart and changes you, and you become born anew. You see, man sinned in a perfect environment. We had it all. Adam and Eve had everything. They didn't even need to have police forces. They didn't need to have government. They didn't need anything because they had it all. But they rebelled against God. They sinned against God. And they passed it on down from generation to generation, down to you and me, till we are all sinners. Now, to be born again means being born into God's family. In Ezekiel, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. In Romans, Paul speaks of it as being alive from the dead. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it being a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Has that happened to you? Peter said, we become partakers of the divine nature. How wonderful to become a partaker of God's very nature. John calls it passing from death into life. You're no longer heading for death and destruction and hell and judgment. You're heading for a new life, an eternal life with God in heaven. And you receive it tonight. Well, how is this new birth accomplished? There's a mystery to it, the Bible says. Jesus said, the wind blows where it listeth. I can't see the wind. I can feel it. I can see the results of the wind, but I can't see the wind. The wind blows where it wants to. And then there's the analogy to natural birth. There's conception, just a few seconds, when the sperm and the egg are joined together. And then there's gestation for 9 months. And then birth comes. And the labor lasts a few minutes or maybe a few days. And how does that become an analogy to the new birth? Well, there's the reception of the Word of God. That's conception. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then Romans 10:7 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching or declaration or proclamation to save them that believe. It's also the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. You can't come to Christ except the Holy Spirit convicts you and draws you. John 16 says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll use a mother's prayers. He'll use a tragic experience. He'll use a pastor's sermon. He'll use a tract or something you've read out of the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives new life. The Bible teaches that we're dead in sin and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Man needs new life, and that new life is brought by the Holy Spirit. That's the new birth, and that could happen to you tonight. You can leave here born anew.
That's right, and if there's anything we can do to help you out, again, we're not going to do a closing song for you guys, but I wanted to let you know if there's anything I can do for you. You can always email me here at the studio, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Morningsbrew@gmail.com, and give you the resources to help you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Please don't make it too late, because life is but a vapor. And that was a great sermon back in 1983 by the late Billy Graham, entitled How to Get to Heaven. And also, you can text a prayer. Always remember that. Go to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. When you do that, just click on station information. You'll find me there. And when you do that, copy it, paste it on your phone, and put it, you know, send me a text and put it in your directory. We're always here for you to love you and serve for God, because we're all here for one purpose: to enjoy life, enjoy each other, friends, family, loved ones. But we also want to serve and love our Lord Jesus Christ up in heaven. So let's lead off in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over, guide, and protect us. Keep us ever so safe. We love you, Lord. The ones that don't know you, may they know you and draw ever so close to you. Ones that are going through issues right now, I pray that you just help them. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, well, this is CA. I'm going to saddle up. I'm going to leave Faith Studio 1 here in the beautiful downtown Fort Worth area. Hope you all have a great Friday. We'll see you soon. Have a good day. Bye for now.